In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we would normally celebrate the memory of St. John of the Ladder, but today the Feast of the 40 Martyrs falls on this day, and so this feast replaces that commemoration. So important is the memory of the 40 Martyrs to the Church. The facts of their martyrdom are recorded by three of the great fathers of the Church who lived both close in time and in close proximity to where this took place, namely St. Basil the Great, his younger brother Gregory of Nyssa, and St. Ephrem the Syrian. In the year 313, St. Constantine the Great and Licinius, who was his co-emperor, they had divided the empire into half. Constantine at that time had the west and Licinius the east, issued the Edict of Milan, which proclaimed religious toleration, especially to Christians, but really for all religions. It didn't proclaim Christianity the official religion, but it allowed churches to be opened and for Christians to worship without any fear of persecution. However, in the year 320, Licinius reneged on this agreement because he had decided to go to war with Constantine to fight for the whole empire. And so in the area that he controlled, he began to persecute Christians. And because he was preparing to fight St. Constantine, he was concerned about Christians in his army, especially because he was concerned that they might not be fully loyal to him, but might turn and fight for Constantine in battle. And so he ordered that all the Christians, or actually all the soldiers, were to offer pagan sacrifices, and any refusing to do so would be killed. And there was a Roman legion that was stationed in the mountains of central was now Turkey, Asia Minor, and this legion was known as the Thundering Legion. It was called the Thundering Legion because it had once been in a helpless situation where there was no obvious sign of them winning the day, but they faced imminent destruction by their enemies. And because of the Christian members of that legion, they prayed, and God sent a storm which allowed them to defeat their enemies. They were dying of thirst, by the way. They were cut off from waters, and so that storm brought them refreshment, and it also threw their enemy into confusion, and so they won the day. And in that legion, there were 40 Christians who refused to offer sacrifices, and so they were brought before their commander, and he flattered them, complimented them on what great soldiers they were. They had proved themselves in battle many times, and he had offered them all kinds of rewards if they would simply offer sacrifices, but they refused to do so. And so he locked them into prison. One of the 40 martyrs reminded him, "You haven't been authorized to torture us." And so, just as an aside, like St. Paul, Christians are certainly within their rights to assert their rights as citizens, and this is what they did. And so their general sent word to the local prefect and locked them into prison, and they sat there until that prefect arrived. And we're told when we read their life that they spent their time in prayer and in the singing of psalms. And that first night that they were in prison, they heard a voice saying, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved," quoting the words of Matthew 10:22. And one other thing we should note from this is that they couldn't have chanted the psalms had they not learned them already. You don't want to wait until you're in the middle of a trial like they faced to begin to acquaint yourself with the scriptures and especially the psalms, because there's such an incredible amount of strength and hope and faith that you will derive from your familiarity with the scriptures and especially the psalms. On the following morning when the prefect arrived, they were again flattered and offered all sorts of rewards if they would give in, but threats if they did not. And the 40 martyrs, one of them spoke out and he said, "If, as you say, we fought bravely for our earthly emperor, how much more do you think we're going to fight for our heavenly king?" And the prefect ordered their servants to begin to throw stones at the 40 martyrs. And the stones didn't hit the 40 martyrs, they began to hit those that were around them, including the general. And so they began to perceive that there was some sort of an invisible power, but being superstitious, they didn't necessarily recognize that meant that their God was better than their gods, but nevertheless, they recognized that there was a supernatural power at work. And again, they were put into prison while the prefect thought about what he would do. And that night they heard another voice that said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live," quoting John 11:25. "Be brave and fear not, for ye shall obtain imperishable crowns." The prefect decided that because these were brave soldiers, threats of death were not going to get them anywhere. Threats of torture were not going to get them anywhere because they were used to enduring hardship. But he devised a means that would give them a very painful and slow death that he hoped would break them and cause at least some of them to give in. And so he commanded that they were to be stripped naked, and keep in mind this is in the winter still. They were commanded to go out into the frozen waters of a nearby lake. And we're told that the martyrs willingly took off their clothes and entered into that lake to begin their final battle in that water. They set guards around the lake, and they also constructed a bath with warm water that they kept hot on the shore so that it would entice the soldiers to break. And as the day went into night, one of the 40 finally broke, and he made a mad dash for that warm bath. And we're told that as soon as he crossed the threshold into that bath, he died. He wasn't even able to enjoy the momentary pleasures of being warm, so deceived was he by the devil. Later on that evening, around midnight, the other soldiers were asleep, and there was one soldier who was keeping watch, and he was granted by God a vision. He saw that 39 crowns were descending on the martyrs, and he saw a heavenly light shining upon them. And indeed, the martyrs were given warmth by God. And when he saw that there were only 39 crowns, it dawned on him that the one who had died had lost his crown. And seeing the fate of the sinner and the crowns of those that stood firm for Christ, he woke up the other soldiers, threw off his clothes, and he went into the lake himself. He said, "Their God is my God." And the 40th crown descended upon him. That morning, when the prefect and the general arrived to see what had happened, and they found that not only had 39 of them not broke, but one of their own soldiers had joined them and was praising God in the lake, they asked the other soldiers, "How did this happen?" And they explained, "You know, we didn't know what happened. We were asleep. We woke up, and this Aglaus is throwing off his clothes, proclaiming himself to be a Christian, and he's running into the lake." And so the prefect, giving up on this as a means to break them, commanded that the 40 martyrs were to be brought to the shore, and then with sledgehammers, they broke all of their legs one by one. And none of them renounced their faith. But there was one who was still alive as they began to put into a wagon all the bodies of the other martyrs, but because this one was still breathing, they left him to lie alone. His name was Melanchthon. And his mother, who was there, who was also a Christian, came and picked him up and put him into the cart herself because she didn't want her son to lose the crown. And as she placed him into the cart, he breathed his last. The prefect ordered that their bodies were to be burned, and their flesh was consumed by the flames, but their bones were not. And so they were thrown into a nearby river. And then after 3 days, the saints appeared in a dream to the local bishop and told them where to find their remains. And when they went there at nighttime, their bones were shining like candles, and they were able to gather them all up. And so their relics have been distributed amongst the various churches. And this brings us to St. Gregory of Nyssa, who I mentioned is one of the fathers that records their life. St. Gregory, when he was a teenager, he was asked by his mother to come to the vigil because they had built a church in honor of the 40 martyrs in their city of Caesarea in Cappadocia, and they had just gotten some of the relics of the 40 martyrs for that church, and they were having a vigil for the martyrs. And so St. Gregory, coming from a pious family, did as his mother had asked him to do, and he was in the church. And in those days, vigils were not just like what we do. They were really all-night vigils. And so as the hours passed, he began to no longer pay attention. He became drowsy. And finally, he drifted off into sleep. And then suddenly, it was as if everyone in the church had left. All the lights were gone. And 40 men with wooden rods entered the church. And they began to apply the rod of correction, to use a biblical phrase, to St. Gregory. They said, "We died for love of Christ," said one of them, and the record recounts their voices were dull and hollow and filled with sorrow, so it wasn't in anger that they were speaking. "You sleep through the prayers to God," said another. "Wake and give thanks that you may pray in peace, unafraid of the torment we suffered gladly," said a third. "Give glory to the Maker of all and remember our example. Give your life to God, live for Him, and serve Him all the days you live and breathe," exclaimed another. And St. Gregory, as he was using his hands to stop the blows, said, I will, stop, please. I will serve God. I will keep your memory fresh, and I will honor you all the days of my life for your steadfast faith." And then he woke up, and he was back in the church during the vigil, and all the people were there, and he was attentive the rest of that vigil. The commemoration of the 40 martyrs is a feast that always falls during the 40 days of Lent, at least if you're on the old calendar. And the struggle of these martyrs epitomizes the steadfastness and the courage and the determination that we are to approach the fast. And what we should consider is, if St. Gregory was chided by the 40 martyrs for dozing off at an all-night vigil, imagine the rebuke that we would hear when we don't even bother to come to vigil at all, when we don't come to services for good reasons, and when we do come when we don't pay any attention, when we make no effort to keep the fast. Keeping the fast is not an easy thing. It's easier not to keep the fast, obviously, but it's a very small sacrifice on our part. Coming to vigil can be difficult. It gets easier as you do it. You become accustomed to it. But it's not easy. It's not user-friendly. It's not something that a church growth consultant would have ever thought of as a way to reach people. But we as Orthodox Christians know that it's through our struggle that we are saved. There's a crown that's awaiting for each and every one of us, but we have to take up the struggle and endure to the end. Amen.